All right. Hello, Ambit Nation. This is National Consultant Richard Amoivo. Glad you guys are on the call. It's always neat for me to hear all the people dialing in and all the locations that they're in. It doesn't get old for me. I love hearing it. So it's just, it's just a wild thing that looking at Mary and I coming up on our 13th year here in Ambit, and how far we've come. So it's just really great to hear, and it's nice to know that we've got friends in the four corners of the United States and some parts of the other world as well. So all because of Ambit Energy. Well, today's been an exciting day for us. Our oldest daughter, Brittany, turned 23 today. She shares a birthday with Coach Alan Johnston as well up there in East Texas. And I do mean she shares it, because, you know, it's a privilege for him to actually, you know, have the birthday on the same day that she has one. At least in her mind, that's probably how it is. He probably looks at it another way. But, you know, I was telling Mary a couple of weeks ago, you know, I turned 49 on August 10th, and that's not a plug for my birthday. It's just that it's coming up pretty quickly here. And, you know, my kids keep on saying, well, you know, Dad, you're about to be 50. And I said, no, I said 49, and it's still far, far away. And, but I'm having a harder time with my daughter turning 23 than the thought of turning 50, primarily because when Mary and I started dating in September of 99, Mary was 24. When Mary and I first met, Mary was 23. And so now my oldest daughter is at the age that I'm at, the same age I met my wife at her age. And I'm still trying to wrap my head around that one. So if I seem a little squirrely or seem a little bit off, that could be a really, really good reason why. And maybe some of you guys out there can relate to it as well.
Yeah, that's really funny, because I don't have any issues around it. Our daughter turning 23. And I'm fighting aging every step of the way. Forget about growing old gracefully. But I think that Ambit actually makes you younger. I think it gives you, when you get to a place where you have financial freedom, you really can do things to turn back the hands of time. I think we've probably taken better care of ourselves in the last few years than we've ever done before, now that we have time to work out and eat right and take care of ourselves and cook good meals and all that stuff. And it used to be back in the day that we were just surviving life, like just running through and trying to, you know, get enough sleep just to make it through another day and have enough food just to get to the next thing. And now it's a completely different way of approaching life. So that's why we're so passionate about this business and people getting financially free, because it makes such a huge difference. It changes your conversations and generations. You know, Brittany is about to graduate from college in December. She's engaged, so she'll be getting married sometime next year. And the conversation is not about what kind of job do you want to have. The conversation we've been having is, what kind of lifestyle do you want to have? And given the lifestyle you want to have, what's the career that's going to provide you with the opportunity to have the lifestyle you want to have? And we're not talking about lifestyles of the rich and famous. We're talking about day in and day out, what do you want life to look like? How much time do you want to be spending with your spouse and your kids? What do you want to be doing to make a difference? You know, how do you want to spend your days? And what are the things that are going to drive you? And it can't be about just paying bills and making enough money to pay your mortgage, because that eventually gets old. And I think you're on this call, and I think you're in this business because you want something greater than that. You want something that's going to drive you forward. You want to have a calling in life, not just a job. You want your life to make a difference and to be about something. And so, you know, it's interesting. Richard and I, we met 20 years ago, over 20 years ago, and we've been together now almost 20 years. But we met in a personal growth and development program, and it was probably in that season of my life when I was in my young 20s, my first taste of personal growth and development. And I grew up in a family where nobody ever did any kind of personal growth. Nobody read any growth books. I didn't even know any of that existed. I didn't have teachers that exposed me to that. I didn't have friends or parents of friends that exposed me to that. So it was a brand new thing for me. And when I got a taste of it, I got so hungry for it. And it was just, I became someone I didn't know that I could be. And I think it was always in me. I just had to get something out of it.
And before we continue on, I made a mistake to begin the call. You know, we started this Facebook page for the Ambit Business Builder call a little while back. But if any point in time during the call, especially when we're on the call, you can definitely post questions on there, and we'll circle them through the call that we do. So if you go on Facebook.com, then you go ahead and just do a search for Ambit Business Builder Call. And what you're going to see is Facebook.com/AmbitBBC. And that's the actual page. So you can post questions on there, and we'll check in on those from time to time throughout the call. But, you know, Mary talking about, you know, personal growth and everything, we're big on it, because I just don't think your income rises disproportionate of your personal growth. And if it does, there's a good chance that it won't stick around. And, you know, I've never been singularly focused on money. I've been singularly focused on the package, meaning, you know, time, money, freedom, health, family, marriage, spiritual life. I want the package. And if that means I make less money in the process, I'm okay with that, because I grew up with a little bit of money as a kid, lost that money when my parents lost that, created my own businesses, had that, didn't have freedom, didn't have time, but had money. And then I've gone through this dance. Ambit Energy is the only business that delivered on what I was always looking for. And so, you know, we've always focused on what's going to have all areas of our life rise. And there's times and there's seasons where there is you've got to pull back on something. I don't think you should ever rob your family, rob your wife, you know, rob your husband, rob your health. But it could be that you do have a little bit less time, but the time that you do have becomes more intentional, because in different seasons of this Ambit business, and maybe different seasons with your Ambit business and the job or the business that you have alongside, you're going to have to make adjustments. And, you know, it's not, you know, the Leave It to Beaver, if you guys are old enough to remember Leave It to Beaver, that lifestyle doesn't exist, right? It's, you know, everyone's not having dinner at 5:30, 6 o'clock together as a family. And, you know, typically what it looks like is, kids are being taken to practices, different events, you know, man is working late, woman's working late, or one's not, one is. It is a juggle and a dance. And I have the utmost respect for people that do have families that are building this business, because, you know, I look at what we had to do to start and grow this business and be able to get enough cash coming in from Ambit so we could shed something that was tearing us down. And when I look at when I see other people doing this business, is, and I see the sacrifices they're making, it's just incredibly moving for me. But when I see people that are in the business and they're just kind of biding some time, you know, and I know they're away from their family, I know they're away from their, you know, their wife or their kids, whatever it is, and it's like, you know what, that doesn't get better. You've got to bite the bullet. You've got to jump in with both feet. You cannot just tiptoe around this, trying to avoid getting hurt or rejected or whatever that might be to protect yourself. There's no easy way to take this plunge. You have to do it if you're really, really trying to create a new future for yourself. If you're just trying to make a little bit of cash on the side and create some residual, you know, a small amount of residual income over time, and or maybe you're hoping to get lucky and someone's going to go build a huge business underneath you, I just don't, you know, that's not me, right? That wasn't my mentorship. That wasn't my coaching. You know, we wanted to build something that we could be proud of, something our kids could be proud of, possibly our kids be a part of. But more importantly, we were trying to figure out how could we have the life that was going to allow for health, wealth, you know, just all around prosperity, and give our kids options that they wouldn't have had, that we didn't grow up having. And I think every parent wants that. But I don't know if enough people in Ambit really look in the mirror and hard question themselves on, you know, am I really doing my best? You know, just because you're failing along the way doesn't mean you're not doing your best. You're doing your best, but hopefully you're also doing your best in trying to figure out those failures too, because everyone's got a different learning curve. Everyone's got to figure out what works for them in this business, and everyone's got obstacles, internal and external, that they got a hurdle. So the only reason why you would think, you know, you're not doing your best is if you are taking action and not growing and you're comparing yourself to somebody else, or you're not taking action and you're hoping for the best and you know you're not doing your best. So you've got to be able to confront yourself in a brutal way, not where you go beat yourself up with a ball peen hammer. It's just, you've got to be able to confront yourself and say, listen, am I really doing my best? Is this something I really want? I hear the stories, I hear the testimonies, I hear the victories, but am I really going to do that? And you've got to ask yourself that. And then if you answer yes, then there is no questioning tomorrow, meaning you don't wake up tomorrow and re-ask yourself that question, you know, do I still want this? It's like when you get married, it's not like you renew your vows every day. You've done your vows, right? You've made that commitment. Now, Ambit's not getting married. You're not making a life commitment. You can turn your website off tomorrow, and that's what you could do. But you've got to make a commitment to yourself that the commitment's not on shaky ground. You really want this. And if you do, then there's things that you should be doing daily, and there's a methodology of how you should be conducting business. And there should be a method of how you are growing and developing yourself so that you're always getting better, even in the midst of failure.
So, you know, one of the things that Richard and I did a Tony Robbins seminar a few weeks ago, and it was the first seminar he does. It's Unleash the Power Within, which was phenomenal. We did the whole walking on hot coals. I mean, just completely shifted my mindset on how powerful your mind is. I mean, I always knew that your mind and your thinking and your thought process really dictates a lot of things in your life. But until we walked on those hot coals, I realized, like, oh my gosh, my mind really does shift my whole reality. Like, it really does shift my whole reality. And, you know, one of the things Tony Robbins said, and I've said this on multiple calls, and I kind of want to dive a little deeper into it. And he had, he was speaking to a group of Marines, and we'll go through the situation that it was in, but the guy who hired him was an officer. And he said, you know, these Marines, and probably 99% of all Marines, when they leave the Marine Corps, they have left the highest standard of living that they're ever going to ever hold themselves accountable to. They always drop their standards when they leave the Marine Corps. He goes, why is that? And Tony had said, he goes, your results are a direct reflection of the expectations of your peer group. And Tony said, you know, as soon as that came out of my mouth, I thought, that was good. I'm going to write that down. And I just kept, for me, really, I just kind of sat in that. Like, my results are a direct reflection of the expectations of my peer group. And what I did coming out of that seminar is I kind of did a little bit of a jog down memory lane, and I thought about all the seasons of life I was in and the results I was producing and the peer groups I had during those times. And boy, was he right. I remember being in certain peer groups, and my results they really did, I mean, they were elevated to an expectation that was much higher than I ever expected of myself. Because the peer group I had at that time was demanding more of me than I demanded of myself. And there were plenty of times in my history where my results were definitely a reflection of the expectations of my peer group, and my peer group was definitely dragging me down and having me do things I wouldn't normally do because that's something that was not part of my core values, but because that was the expectation, that's what I did, and I compromised myself in those times. So I want you to think about, you know, look in your peer group. And sometimes some of you, and I'm included in when I say some of you, is that you belong, you are in a peer group that really is not your peer. And that's positive and negative. You know, you might be in a group of people that you spend a lot of time with, but really, they're not your peer. Maybe they live geographically near you, but they don't really produce the kind of results you're accustomed to producing. Maybe they're in an economic class that's lower than where you are, or their education level is lower, and there's nothing wrong with that. The problem with doing that consistently over time is eventually your results will be a direct reflection of the expectations of your peer group. And then some of you belong to a peer group that may be not your peer group, but it swings the other way. Their economic class is higher than yours. Their education level is higher than yours. Their success in life is higher than yours. And then you start to elevate your own results because the expectations are greater and they actually call you forth. So if you look in your ambit business and in your life, look at the peer group that you're spending time with and answer for yourself, are my results a direct reflection of the expectations of my peer group? So what is it that my peer group is expecting of me, and how do I get into a peer group that's going to expect greater from me so that I can produce greater, so that I can expect greater for myself?
You know, in ambit, there is a built-in set of peer groups that are just inherently there just because of the sheer nature of our compensation plan. But, you know, the first one that you're going to experience is your upline. And depending on who sponsored you, and depending on, you know, who the regional senior executive and national are, you know, you might have access to hopefully one, two, three of those people, depending, you know, if you got sponsored by an executive, they're your RC, SC, and EC, right? But so hopefully there's, you know, one, two, or three people that are there in the upline that have a big financial interest in you, as well as your sponsor. And that's one peer group. And you know, given that, when you've got somebody who is promoted to a compensation plan that you're looking to promote in, then it's good to spend time with talking to people on how they promoted through the compensation plan up to the point that they've promoted. You know, if you're talking to a senior, it's kind of hard to get the reality of what does it take to get promoted to executive. They can tell you the requirements, but they can't really tell you the process or explain to you their experience because they haven't done it yet. So it's very important that you speak with people on a regular basis who have done things already and accomplished things already that you're wanting to accomplish for yourself. And that can't be all your conversations, because as you start developing in your local market or other local markets, depending on where your team starts to develop, then you're going to develop these relationships that are outside of your upline. They're going to be cross-line. They're going to be part of other organizations. And Ambit's done a really, really great job with our network, meaning that we have a very open environment, whereas in a lot of other companies, downlines don't mix with each other. We've never really been that way. It's been fairly open across the board. Meetings are open. The only time a meeting's a closed meeting or a private meeting is because it's limited on space, like extremely, and it's just, that's just the way it has to be. But for the most part, 90% of everything out there is wide open. So you got another peer group, which is your cross-line peer group, which sometimes your cross-line peer group can be your running buddies, the people that are that are holding you to a higher standard, as Mary was talking about. They're seeing what you're capable of, maybe before you see what you're capable of. They're there to empower you. They're there to, you know, just push you beyond what you think you can do and have fun with, too, because that's part of it, too. A lot of times I'll stop doing something if I can't have fun. That doesn't mean it's jokes and giggles the whole time. It just means that the moment it's really not fun, then I'm going to just kind of, you know, acquiesce out of that situation because I got to have fun. And then the third peer group is going to be your downline. And, you know, some people are like, well, that seems kind of odd. Well, keep in mind, you're developing future leaders, hopefully, in your downline. They're going to be with you for a long time. I always tell people, listen, don't sponsor someone you don't like because they could be with you for a very, very long time. You know, you might be stuck with them for a really long time. So, you know, sponsor people that you know you can build something with. I'm not saying you couldn't sponsor someone you don't like. I'm just saying that, you know, keep that in mind. You're going to be working with these people. So you've got your downline and your future leaders that are coming up through that downline. And, you know, I look at the relationships that we, you know, that we've built cross-line. I look at relationships that we've built in our downline and being able to spend time with them personally that are nothing to do with Ambit, where we can dream build, where we can laugh, cut back, not have to, you know, worry about, you know, showing up a particular way. You can just kind of be a little raw and not have to worry about that. So those three peer groups, downline, crossline, and upline, those peer groups should be commanding and demanding and expecting more of you. When you're interacting with leaders that are above you, then, you know, listen, you need to listen. You got to listen to what they're telling you. If you come into that conversation, you hang around that group like you've got it all figured out, trust me, you're going to hear crickets. I've seen it. I've watched it happen. You're gonna, you got crossline. If you're not helping and working and helping make the local market better and contributing to the BP in some way, shape, or form, time, talent, or treasure, then you're probably not making the same kind of investment as other people are. So they're not going to expect much from you. And then you look at your downline. If you're not showing up strong, promoting, I'm not saying it's a fast track, everything, everyone's different, but if you're not showing up strong, promoting to the compensation plan, exposing how you're growing your business, then they don't have something to follow. So each one of those peer groups are expecting and demanding something different from you. And if you think at any point in time one of those peer groups don't matter, my personal opinion is where you start to lose the edge. You start to lose the edge of influence. You start to lose the edge of being able to collaborate with other people in the business. And then you start to lose the edge of being able to be coached by people who have been there and done that.
You know, I think one of the greatest things that you can do and have facility in this business is to be able to assess where you are. Now, one of the things Richard and I always talk about is, you know, before you're a senior consultant, you can't really assess yourself because you don't know how to. But one of the things that you can assess yourself on is, am I being stretched? So if you don't have an experience of someone or something or some group stretching you in this business, you got to find a new peer group. You got to figure out, okay, what is missing that I don't feel like I'm getting stretched? Every person on the call, no matter if you are a marketing consultant brand new in the business or you're a national consultant, been in the business since day one and financially free, it doesn't matter where you are. Somewhere in this business, you should feel like you're getting stretched, like someone is calling you forth, someone is calling you to do or be more than what you've done or been. And if you're not having that experience, then either you need to get yourself into a new peer group or you got to ask yourself, why is that? Is it because I've closed myself off from it? Is it because I'm not exposed to it? Or is it because I have been in a place where I don't allow people to make a difference for me? So if you really want this business to grow you and have financial freedom in this business, it is going to take you to grow yourself. And you can't be comfortable. And I think a lot of times people get in this business, They get to a certain place and they get comfortable and they settle in. And there's no settling in. Once you settle in, I mean, it creates complacency and it creates a area where you start to get resigned and just get to a plateau. And I watch it all the time. I see consultants all the time and they get to a place where they start to just expect really nothing of themselves. They don't expect to grow in their business, so they literally do nothing because they expect nothing. And so the same thing over and over again happens in their business, and they just, you know, they just go through the motions. And if you're in the place where you're going through the motions, then ask yourself, where is an area where I can stretch myself? You know, what's the next thing that I can stretch myself to? And I'll also be honest with you, when we got to executive consultant, and that was our big goal, getting to executive consultant, there really wasn't anybody at National other than the ones that came in as National. And nobody was really, I didn't see anybody really going for it. And for me, I kind of settled in at executive. And it took us a really long time. It took us a really long time. It took me a really long time before I even decided that I wanted to be a National consultant. And I settled in at executive, and I quit stretching myself at that point. And so I'm going to assert that some of you are kind of in that place. Maybe it's not an executive. Maybe it's a marketing consultant or a regional or a senior. And you've been in that place for so long that you've gotten a little resigned about getting to that next level, so you quit stretching yourself. And you just started to say, well, you made up a lot of excuses for why you're where you are, or why it's taking you as long as it's taking you. And I'm not saying to get down on yourself, okay? I'm not saying that at all. Because sometimes you can be doing all the right things and doing everything that you know to do and be building the business in every shape, way, form you can, and you've just not hit that stride. And I get that. I'm addressing where you're not doing anything anymore. You've gotten complacent. You've hit resignation. You're not even doing what you know to do because you feel borderline hopeless. It may not feel like it's completely hopeless, but if you look at your actions over the last week or 2 weeks or 4 weeks or 8 weeks, you might see that your actions will say that you're a little complacent in your business. And that's what I'm referring to. I'm referring to the places where you're not even allowing yourself to be stretched. So if you want to produce greater results in this business, you got to be in a place where you're either demanding yourself to be stretched, or you're part of a peer group that's demanding of you. So those are the two places that you got to find yourself in sometime, like consistently in your business, so that you'll grow. I remember having a conversation with Roberto Martinez on Thursday night, and he's an incredible leader in the business. He and his sweet wife, Denise, were number three on the EC Power Team contest when we spoke on Thursday. And I said, what was your number for ambition? And he said what his number was. And I said, well, where are you at now? He goes, well, I hit my number. I said, great, what's your new number? He was like, well, I didn't even think about that. I said, well, ambition's a month away. You need a new number. You need a new number to hit. And I said, how many do you have EC coded to you? And he's like, well, I have this many EC coded to you. I said, well, that's your new number. That number that you had that you wanted to have at ambition, that's the number you need to have EC coded to you. And it's those kind of conversations that you've got to have that stretches you to even expect more of yourself. And if you're not having those kind of conversations, you will get complacent in this business. So that's why it's so important for you to be around other leaders. It's important for you to be at the meetings. It's important for you to be in the game. You know, if you're a senior consultant and you're not even competing in the five-star, shame on you. You've sold out on yourself. You know, you might not be competing for one of the slots on the five-star, but at the very least, you need to be competing with yourself on the five-star. So wherever you ended up on the five-star contest last year or the last contest period, you need to beat yourself on the next contest period. And wherever you end up on that contest period, you need to beat yourself on the next contest period. And that's how you win in this game of ambient energy, is you constantly have to be winning a game of some sort and being a demand of yourself to call yourself forward.
You know, the biggest game, the biggest peer group that we've got in Ambit is the people who attend Ambition, because it's a financial commitment, it's a time commitment, it takes something to make that happen. And my personal opinion, given all the stories I've heard about over the years, anyone can get to Ambition, because I've seen people crawl to Ambition, not literally, but I mean, like, yeah, I mean, they scraped everything that they possibly could. They sold stuff. They emptied out cupboards. They caravaned. They ate peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. They did whatever they had to do to be in that space. And the following year was their victory. So no one can give me a good enough excuse, short of a wedding that you have no control over, assuming that you're the bride or groom's dad or mom, or a funeral or a major medical procedure or something like that. You know, everything's within reason, okay? You can be at Ambition. And if you've already made up in your mind, I can't go because it costs X, then, you know, you're not using the promotional bonuses to fund your Ambition activity. I can tell you this much. Anyone that's in the business prior to Ambition and they don't go to Ambition, my availability to speak with them is not nil. It's just going to have to be extremely convenient for me, because it's like getting out of a Lamborghini and, you know, you're driving super, super fast down the road, and then you got to get out and you got to get into a school bus. It's crazy. It's so slow, because where people are at is you've got to catch them up to speed. You've got to explain it. And so my availability to do that only hurts the people that went to Ambition. So as a leader, I'm not cold-hearted. I understand stuff happens, but it's really hard for me to find that someone really had a viable reason to not go, unless it was one of those major, major issues that I mentioned before that they had no control over. But if they just kind of made it up in their mind that they couldn't go, it's just for them to catch up. So when you look at all the money they've put on the table right now, the new promotions, depending on the market you're in, depending on the market you're building in, and then you know from talking to enough people in Ambit that the company puts on the biggest announcements, the biggest promotions at that conference, it's like, how can you look yourself in the mirror and go, I'm not going, I can't go? I mean, you got to stop saying can't anywhere in your life and start asking how, because that's the beginning of creativity. How? Can't is the beginning of death. And I've watched people can't themselves into a box to where they can't get out of, and that's become their life sentence. I can't, I can't, I can't. You know, it's never, I don't have enough money. It's, that's not something I value right now. That's not something I'm willing to sacrifice for right now. So, and it's never, I can't. It's, man, I don't know how. So how can I do that? So you've got to be willing to put that on the line and figure out how you can get there. And you've got to figure out how to transfer that to your downline, to where your downline is asking, how can I get there? So you can push your own numbers for their potential growth. It's not for you. Them going to Ambition is not for you. Them going to Ambition is for themselves. Because if they're not in the space, there's no way they can even get 1% of the value of what happens at Ambition.
You know, when you start asking yourself, how can I, what happens is it allows your mind to think creative thoughts. So can't literally kills off any possibility. Asking the question, how can I, starts to get your mind thinking in ways it wouldn't normally think. And that's part of this business. It's really being creative with growing and expanding. And I think for a lot of you, even the sheer act of trying to get yourself to Ambition could cause a breakthrough for you in your business. So Ambition is around the corner. Online registration ends in 1 week. We've got another 6 days, five and a half days left of the triple double. So take complete advantage of that. I think it was very timely that corporate put on this promotion. And I think Brian McClure is going to be doing his sunset tour. I think it starts this week in a lot of areas. So if you don't know what I'm talking about, go to eventbrite.com and look for Brian McClure sunset tour, and all the tour dates will be on there. But we're going to go ahead and unmute the line so that everybody can say goodnight. We're super excited for this last week. A triple double is going to be a very busy week for us. We pray that it will be a very, very busy week for you all too.
All right, guys, y'all have an awesome week. Help spread the word on the Ambit Business Builder Call page so we can, you know, have you guys put suggestions on there, questions on there. It'll help future hosts and future leaders of this call. So whatever you can do to put some content out there, some questions, we'd love to have it. And then make some recommendations for people you'd love to hear from on this call. So, guys, y'all have an awesome evening. Let me unmute the lines and let everyone say good night.